Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we are examining the letter to Sardis. This church was in need of deliverance from the deception they had been living under. Jesus tells them in Revelation 3:3, "Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent." The opportunity to hear, receive, and repent is still available to us if we will open our heart to listen. So we invite you to join in the conversation to find deliverance from the deception of the flesh. Now, Sardis is coming out of the Dark Ages, where only certain individuals had been allowed to share their version of truth. And those individuals ruled the law of government, religious activities, and the general day-to-day dealings of the people.
You know, Sharon, I am a little compassionate for the church at Sardis, even though they really did not get a very friendly warning when the Lord addressed them. It was very necessary for them to make the transition. So let's have a little mercy and long-suffering as we look at the church at Sardis. They were coming out of the Dark Ages, and it developed the Protestant movement that was really dominant in the church for about 300 years. And just stop and think what it must be like if you had never had access to a Bible in your life. You never knew about one scripture, how to look it up on your own. You had to go to a person or a religious system to find out what God was saying.
Right.
So we need to recognize that there is a great, great need for deliverance from our natural being, from our flesh. And we're not really being contemptible to just want to do our thing. Sharon, we just simply don't know how to do otherwise. We've never had the exposure, the training, or the teaching to be able to discern what is really of the Spirit and what's of our own thinking.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
But Sardis was really coming into a time when light was going to be given. And thanks to Martin Luther, as he searched the Scriptures, he realized that there were some basic foundational truths that were for all people, just not an exclusive hierarchy, but everyone should be able to apply these scriptures.
And those basic foundational truths are the five major tenets that he posted on the door of his church.
That's right. And he posted them in Latin. I don't know that you and I are proficient in Latin.
Definitely not.
But we will say them the best we can.
Okay.
And in all five tenets, there is one word that is consistent, and it's the word sola. And that really means only.
Okay.
So when he said sola scriptura, Martin Luther was basically saying that only through the scriptures is the truth really available.
So basically what we've been saying all along, the scriptures are the final authority.
Yes. Then there was another truth that is so essential for us, and it was sola gratia. And basically that is saying only through grace alone can these truths be made known.
Okay.
Which is another way of saying, Sharon, we are not going to intellectually comprehend or apprehend what the scriptures are saying if it is not through grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So not by our own rationalization or reasoning.
Which means we have to be reliant on the Holy Spirit as the communicator of what has been written. And when we grieve and quench him, then we really shut down the very supply that we need to understand so we can know and apply.
Right. Okay.
And then there was the third tenet, and we would say that was sola fide. And that means only by faith can we understand what is to be applied. So if we are not trusting and relying on the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, We're looking to maybe some other good men to teach us.
Right.
We even could be listening to SharonHearts.org and expecting them to tell us.
Right.
And we will say right now, anything that we say here is to be confirmed by the Holy Spirit as we each go into the Scriptures.
So this may be why we're not applying the Scriptures to our lives. We're listening to it as a historical truth, but not applying it to our day-to-day living.
That is exactly correct. And we also listen to theologians that we expect to discern and give us the correct interpretation. Mm. And sometimes the Holy Spirit says, I teach each one according to what they need to hear at the time they need to hear it.
Okay.
So we cannot, I think the best way to say this is, don't be a spoon-fed Christian.
Oh, okay. That's good. I like that.
Get off your pablum and learn how to chew a little steak.
Yeah. Get out a knife and cut it into the pieces you need.
Even if it's little bitty bite-sized pieces.
Exactly.
Okay?
Okay.
Then the fourth tenet was solus Christus. Only by Christ is everything the true source. Mm. John 15, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing.
Right.
He is a source for all of our life. And when we minimize leaning on Him and dealing with our flesh, as we opened up with, we need deliverance from the flesh, Sharon, we grieve and break His heart, because after all He's done for us, then we need to look at Him as our only source. Now, He uses us as tools, but we always need to recognize He is the final and only source.
Okay.
And then the last of the five tenets was sola gloria. And this says only for the glory of God are we meant to live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we've kind of turned that upside down,
yes,
Sharon.
It's for the glory of self.
And sometimes that can be in ignorance. We want to serve Him. And in doing so,
we want to look good for His sake.
Yes.
And so it's kind of skewed.
Yes.
It's skewed a bit.
Yes, or it's marred, or it's muddled. And that takes real discernment of being quiet and examining your heart to be sure that your motive and your intent is coming from Him and back to Him, and that we're not entering in our own esteem or something of our own worthiness.
All for Him, by Him, to him. Right.
And that's Romans 11:36. And don't forget it.
And don't forget it.
Right.
But that's really the problem, Janie. We're forgetting it. Whether it's intentional or unintentional, we're trying to make our reputations for ourselves. And God's not glorified in that.
Well, Sharon, a point that we need to bring out now is God, who says He must be worshiped according to who He is, says He is spirit. And we must worship Him in spirit and truth. Mm. And we know that Jesus Christ said that He is truth. Now, Sharon, I still get stretched on knowing how to communicate with a real person that is spirit. And for many people, that is a foreign concept. So they really never learn how to develop communication spirit to spirit. Their spirit to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the ways we can start to develop knowing how to grow and be delivered from the flesh is to take time to go back in prayer, which is really just communicating and talking to the Father, and saying, teach me in my own inner being, in my heart, what it is to be comfortable and just communicating with you. Now, we've said this before, Sharon, but let's say it again. We have complete freedom and access to the God of creation 24/7.
Yeah.
And we need to meditate on the fact that at 2 o'clock in the morning, when we have acid indigestion or anxieties and we can't tell the difference, we simply can start to talk to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We should never take that freedom and privilege for granted.
Yeah.
And if someone wants to go back and see the beauty of communicating, they can go back and see how Jesus Christ communicated with his Father in John 17, the whole chapter. Or you can go to Hebrews 4 and read that whole chapter on what staying in the Word will get you prepared for, and that is to go into the throne room where you have freedom.
Yeah.
And bring your request for help and mercy in time of need.
Yeah, that is so true, Janie. We have been so churched that we don't really know what it is to have a genuine relationship with the Father and the privilege that we have to just be on our knees.
Yes.
We see that as a burden, and it's not. It's such a privilege that we take for granted.
So once we've learned the principle that spirit and spirit must talk if there's going to be true worship, then we need to recognize that we then need to grow in his strength. And he has given us techniques and methods of service to reflect who he is. So I want to give a warning that the touch of the spirit in communicating is not some modern psychological approach for us to be effective. Because it doesn't deal with eternity. We're dealing with eternity when we deal with the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And when we go to man for psychiatric evaluation or consulting or counseling, the most important entity of who we are as a person is the fact that we're eternal. And they don't address that because they don't have any solutions for it.
Right. Unless they're working in the Spirit. In Matthew 26... Verse 41, Jesus tells his disciples to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when we look for solutions, it has to be through the spirit. And there's more proof of that in Galatians 5. That whole chapter is an excellent source of defining what is flesh and what is spirit.
That's absolutely right. And Sharon, knowing the contents of Galatians 5 and the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh, it takes us really back to the root source that we need to know the cross. Mm. Because many people do not want to know the cross except as it benefits them.
Yeah.
Everybody is so positive on getting out of hell and heaven, and I'm in agreement with them.
Yeah. But you know, Janie, that's really all we're taught is that the cross gets us out of hell and into heaven. So much like Sardis, who didn't have the understanding for all the scriptures, we have that same issue today where the benefits of the cross are limited to getting out of hell and into heaven.
That's a very good point, Sharon.
So there's also the fact that we were crucified with Christ, that we don't have to live in the bondage of sin, that we don't have to give in to our flesh.
Excellent.
And Satan's defeated.
And that's when, if I had a singing voice, I would sing you a chorus of hallelujah. But I will just say, hallelujah, we are set free.
And then the command to take up your cross and follow Christ would make more sense. It's not about taking up your cross in service to an outreach ministry. It's in taking up your cross and following Christ in sacrifice.
And you know, one way that can be expressed is in prayer. I do love the song that Dottie Rambeau wrote and sang when she said, "I will weep no more for the cross that he bore." She was looking at his agony and all, and then she ends it, "But I will glory in the cross." And when we go to prayer and being set free from our flesh, and we glory in the benefits of the cross,
yes,
then that brings such pleasure and delight to our Father. And he rejoices in the fact that we can see that his suffering was for our eternal benefit.
Yes. So we don't have to give in to our flesh.
You know, that's absolutely correct. And I wish we could just say, and they all lived happily ever after. End of story.
Right.
But you and I know from our own personal lives that there is conflict.
Mm-hmm.
There can be torment. We can feel like we're living hell on earth as we do unseen battles that we don't understand.
Yeah.
So, Sharon, maybe we need to just talk a little bit about how the flesh battles that eternal benefit that we have by knowing the cross.
And that's why we have to be warriors and spend time on our knees, because it is a battle, Jamie. We have to fight. We can't just sit back and take life easy as Christians.
So, Sharon, let me ask you a thought question. We know that to be true in our spirits. Mm-hmm. We know it. So what do you think it is in us that keeps causing us to want to retreat when the general, the Lord Jesus Christ, has said go forward in confidence? He doesn't tell us to go forward with our knees shaking. That's back in Hebrews 4. Go to the throne room in confidence. So let's just see if we can see how the flesh is keeping us from walking in confidence.
Okay.
How about this one? Our flesh is incompetent to grasp or convey divine truth to ourselves or to one another. So if our flesh can keep us concentrating on me, myself, and I, and what's good for me,
mm-hmm.
that will hold us in an entrapment of not being able to see what God has commanded, and that is, care about others first. So if the flesh can just say, no, just think about taking care of yourself, even the good of your flesh, just take care of your good side. That's really, there's no good side in the flesh.
So that kind of, we're rationalizing our own laziness. Well, is laziness the right word?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Then we, this another point about the flesh life is that it cannot inherit or produce anything for the eternal, because the flesh is here and now.
It's limited. To this natural life, right?
That is exactly right.
Okay.
And by the cross, the old man has been nullified and his power has been cut off.
Okay.
So that we don't have to serve him unless we choose. And our flesh is going to work 24/7 to show us how to choose the flesh, because it feels good, Sharon.
Right, right.
To get that comfort. But that feel good is a deception.
Yeah. So I love the analogy that you gave several months ago about the horses being corralled up in the corral, and we open the gate, and those wild horses of the flesh, we just open the gate and let them run free in our hearts, in our lives, in our thinking, and we say things and feel things that come from our thinking that are not true. And so we feed that flesh when we open that gate.
And that is excellent illustration. And let me give you an example that happened this week to some precious saint. They came to me and they were troubled. And they were opening the gate back up. And I asked them, why are you opening the gates? They didn't realize that because there was something that troubled their mind in a circumstance.
Right.
Rather than going back to sola scriptura, they then started to entertain the unknown situation that caused them anxiety. That's opening the gates up to the flesh, because as soon as the flesh sees that you've got a bit of doubt, or you're denying something because it's too painful, or the anxious, or the anger of a thwarted expectation. Now, get a word picture. You have just opened up the gates to let the horses of the flesh run wild.
And you know, another one is getting your feelings hurt. That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Because that opens the gate to a lot of different horses to come out of that gate.
And you know the biggest corral that attacks first? Marriage.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The second, siblings and parents.
Mm-hmm.
The third place, if you are a believer, the church and the family of
God. The family of God. That's right.
Now, if you're out in the business world, you'll kind of recognize the hostility there, and you may have a certain barrier you can put up at that point. but it's those more interpersonal relationships where everybody does have a relationship with Jesus Christ that sometimes we have our greatest offenses.
Yep.
Then Sharon, the flesh profits nothing. I think you said that just a little earlier. So it's only the true facts of the death of Christ and our death with Him and His being resurrected, and we were resurrected with Him to walk in newness of life, that our life with Him can produce a life that is pleasing to God. So we've got to know the facts.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stand on the facts so that faith doesn't falter. Because the facts are based on the object of our faith, which is a person. So
yes.
Facts, faith for the person of Jesus Christ, so that we can live above our circumstances. Because Sharon, I don't know that circumstances are going to get easier for us as we progress in the world that is being created for us.
Yeah, that is true. And if we keep looking at the profit of our flesh, then we won't see the spiritual aspect of where this is progressing to be able to fight the spiritual battle that we need to fight.
Yes, and now here is where we're going to end on a high note, and that is in seeing how the flesh can so dominate, the Lord says, but I haven't left you without a solution. I am the solution, so you need to learn of me. And that's why He then gives us the exhortation in Romans 12:2 that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because many people don't understand that the battle for the control of your spirit is fought in the soul of your mind. And so bringing every thought captive is the way we can get a handle on rising above our circumstances.
Yes.
And Sharon, there are three things that I'm just going to give from experience of failure.
Okay.
And in my prayer life, I ask every day that the Lord be my tranquility and not allow me to upsurge with trauma.
Okay.
I ask Him to give me calm because I know there is chaos all around me.
Yes.
And then I ask Him to help me appropriate the peace that passes understanding that He has already put into me because He's in me.
Right.
And I ask Him to let that peace replace any panic.
Oh, that's good, Janie.
And my panic can simply be a deadline to get someplace at a certain time, and then there's interference.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I start to feel troubled, and that trouble sometimes is feeling with an uneasiness, your skin might itch. You might just feel a push. You might even feel a racing of a heartbeat. Stop.
Okay.
And say, I have time on eternal time to be still and know that He is God. And Sharon, sometimes that can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And when I cry out, Lord, everything that You are, activate in me right now.
Oh, that's good.
All right?
Right.
And then I'm still.
And willing.
And yes. And
yeah, your heart's open and willing to hear.
I have another word for that. I'm desperate to know. And then just a quiet calming. It doesn't have to be a 45-minute Bible study and getting on your knees again, although we should definitely somewhere take that time. But when you're in a crisis situation, you don't necessarily have time to look at the outline. You just have to know where to go. So tranquility, peace, calm. And I'll throw one other one in. And may the joy of the Lord be my strength.
Amen. Only through the Scriptures will we find truth. Only through grace can those truths be known. Only by faith can the truth be applied. Then we can walk in victory by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, our only source for all things, that we can live our lives to the glory of God, delivered from the deception of the flesh. That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time. and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.